in church. That's what I talked about last week. People's in church. And I may have talked about you behind your back if you weren't here. Probably not. But I talked about the people. What seemed to be lacking was in churches these days is the older teaching the younger the right things of God. Okay. The other thing is that the younger don't seem to want to hear it. And that goes back to the older too. Pastor and I have had plenty of people come up to us and say, hey, you can't teach me. Who are you? Do you think you are to teach me that? You can't tell me what to do. You're not my mother. Like a little four-year-old. Good night. And you know, I think the Bible was wise to put us and to describe human beings in terms of sheep and little children. Little children being babes. Sometimes we're just big babies here. Okay. Sometimes we're sheep. We want to do our own thing, even though that the shepherd is trying to lead us the right directions to that still waters, to that green pastures. Okay. And why that verse is always associated with death, I don't know. That's Psalm 23. I don't know. Read it to it while you're alive. But the shepherd's trying to lead us to the good thing, and we're sheep. We just, you know, do our own thing. We tell the shepherd, basically, who are you? You can't tell me what to do. Unfortunately, God has put certain things in order. You know, he doesn't have a hierarchy, you know, like the Romans did, but he did have the pastor as the leader of the church. He is the under-shepherd, he's called. Okay? And then under that, Paul mentions some people, and he puts teachers in there. You know, evangelists and preachers, and then he put teachers in there. Why? Because everyone needs a teacher. Okay? Even Brother Pete, as long as he's been doing automotives, every now and again he has to take a class in order to keep current. A friend of mine used to work on transmissions. He stopped working on transmissions when they started getting electronic and all kinds of fuzzy for him. He says, no, give me a standard transmission where I can, you know, it's all mechanical, I can do things, and that's great. He gets, you know, you get anything that has any electronic devices going to it to shift or to downshift or whatever, he gets lost. He's not teaching himself or taking the classes to keep current. Okay. So he started woodworking. He had more of a heart for woodworking than mechanics anyway, so he started woodworking. It worked out better for him. He's great. But it's one of those things that we always need a teacher. It does not matter how old we are, how long we have been saved, how spiritual we think we are, because basically it boils down to that too. You know, not, well, I've been in church, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. And we get the idea that, well, we have reached a pinnacle of some sort. We have reached a level that now there is nobody above me to teach me. Ooh, that's kind of arrogant. Better watch it. Because remember, Jesus even says it's the baser things of the world are given that far exceed the wisdom of the world. It's the low things that will be exalted because it's the low things that basically have an idea of how things work. Okay. And the reason I brought out why about teaching and about doing things is because that's all Solomon is about here. My son, my children, God wanting to teach his children, his sons and his daughters, stuff. Things. What is it God wants to teach you? And you know, he wants to teach you stuff every day. We just have to listen. I know when my kids were little, I wanted to teach them stuff every day. And I would say stuff, and this is a learning lesson, and they'd go, huh? And they'll go off and do something else. It's like, everybody knows, yeah, look, this is a great time. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm teaching something, and they go, huh? And then turn, it just went over their head. They weren't paying attention. Yeah, you got something to look forward to there, buddy. Oh, man. Mom, Dad, talk to your blue in the face, and then all of a sudden your children go off and do something. That's not what I said to do. I've noticed that in training classes at work. We have training classes for our drivers. And part of that training class is protocols on radio communication. We use the 10 codes, 10-7, 10-whatever, you know, 10-8. 10:07 is not lunch, by the way. It actually means out of service. Okay. For 10:34, which is lunch. Okay. So it's one of those things. But these guys, and when you say, okay, I understand, it's 10:04, right? Some of these guys are old military or young military. Roger, roger. What does that mean? You know? Or I copy that. It's, you know, that's not what we say. There's a protocol that we do, so that way radio communication is distinct and efficient. You know? That's the reason why they came up with those codes. You know, you don't have to say words. Just say 10:07. I'm 10:08, 10:07, whatever. And it's like, wow, I understand what they're talking about. So that way communication can be understood readily, succinctly, without having to have 5 minutes on the radio just to get... There's sometimes I'm on the radio, I'm listening, and it's like, just get it over and done with. Personal peeve. Yes, I lose my patience with people at times. It's like, duh. But, you know, we're taught things, and there's a certain way we should go about and do things. You know? We are God's children. We are His people. We are His offspring in the Spirit. We are children and sons and daughters of God. And God says, this is the way I expect my children to behave. Okay? Parents, did you have a certain expectation of children, of your children? I spelled it out sometimes. First time they had an understanding, I was in front of the babysitter. We were going out to dinner or something. And I said, now, this is my expectation of your behavior while I'm gone. And if you don't behave this, that person there is going to spank you. And the baby said, oh, no, you just go along. My children had an expectation of behavior from me. A lot of times they got lost because I wasn't clear on my expectations. It's like, oh, yeah. And so God says, this is how I want my people to behave. This is how I want my people to act. Yes, in church, I want the elders to teach the younger because the elders have experience, they have knowledge, and hopefully they have experience in the Lord, listening and applying the Lord's principles and precepts. And hopefully the young will be wise and learn. And that's what he talks about here, the young men having discretion, knowing the things I need to be taught, and I need to be taught by that person because that person has what it takes. This person, he's a goof. You know, he's been saved 40 years, but he hasn't grown in the Lord. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it means it's required upon you, incumbent upon you, to make a decision, to make a judgment, a discernment about who you listen to, about what you listen to. But oftentimes, we just go ahead, we're not just not going to listen to anything. I am self-sufficient. We are not. Otherwise, God would not have written this Bible, this book, this very words which we see. God would not have written this letter to you, to me. This is my behavior I expect of my children. This is the knowledge that I expect my children to learn. Oftentimes, we in New Testament era here, we look and we say, well, we need to discount the Old Testament and just go with the New Testament. In knowing Brother Rosenkrantz and in knowing Brother Reichman, there is so much more that we miss of the depth and of the love and of the breadth of who God is and why He wants us to behave a certain way when we discount the Old Testament. Okay? A lot of times, the book of Proverbs, because that's what I'm teaching through, people see this as a standalone book. It's got good advice. It's got good this for you and everything. How many times have I brought out scripture of the New Testament that teaches the same thing in the Old Testament teaches us? 1,000 years or so difference in between when they were written. And yet we see the same principles, the same precepts taught. Where we should have the same understanding of the Old Testament that we do of the New Testament. You know, for the first 100 years or so, people used the Old Testament to lead people to Christ. Really? How many people can do that today? I'd be hard-pressed. The Roman road, most of that's based in the book of Isaiah. No, it's in the book of Romans, New Testament. It's Old Testament. The foundational things that were laid is the Old Testament. Solomon is trying to get these things across, that these are just basic foundational things that we as children of God need to know. And as children of God, you are called to be righteous. We are further explained that we are that God desires us to be in the very image of His Son. That's what God wants each and every one of us to do. And He knows we can't do it ourselves, so He gave us the Holy Spirit. Boy, I remember my son playing the video games. He would have a help book. So I read, these are cheats. These are cheats that help you get through a level. God gave us a cheat book, a hint book, a command book. It's in there. Everything you need to know. Do not go to the Christian bookstores and see the self-help aisle over there and then find what you need help with. Paul said about the Bereans, or the Bible tells us about Bereans. That was Luke, by the way, that wrote the book of Acts, right? Tells us about the Bereans, that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. Interesting. Of all the detractors of the preachers that I've ever heard, not one of them has said, I have searched the scriptures and found the error in their teaching. It was more personality conflict. I just don't like the way he speaks. Well, I don't like the way he moves back and forth. Well, I don't like this about him. I don't like that about him. I don't like his voice. But is what he's saying true? Is it true? Is it based in the Bible? We had a preacher here one time. He taught a lesson. Great. Brother Dutoy, great preacher. I mean, just some stuff. He went to another local church, and they had this comment about him the first time. Well, he doesn't say enough scripture. Okay, the next night, he laid on the scripture. Everything he said, he backed up with a verse. And it's like, wow. Nobody said anything to say after that, by the way. It's like, oh, well, I guess he knows the scripture too. I guess what he's teaching is part of the scripture. Did they listen? I would dare say 3/4 of them did not listen. Okay? Because A, he was not Baptist. Ooh. By the way, when was the Baptist term originated?
John.
John, he was called the Baptist. In the Greek, he was called the Dipper. John the Dipper. Okay. We didn't come up with the term Baptist until 1600s. Okay. So, which is more important? Being called a Baptist, Catholic, whatever? Or is it found in the Word of God? For some people, it's, oh, if they're not Baptist, we're not going to listen to him. He has nothing to teach us. Oh, if he's not Southern Baptist. Oh, if he's not Independent Baptist. Oh, if he's not, you know, American Baptist. We're not going to listen to him. Why? Well, because he can't be right. He's not one of us. Are these things scriptural? Are the things taught found in the Word of God? Reiterated in the Word of God. Are they found and taught? Are they foundational principles that we need to seek, that we need to listen to? Remember Balaam? Yeah. Everybody likes to make fun of that boy, huh? He was a goofball. How could a preacher of God turn against God? Well, who was his biggest preacher? That old donkey. That old donkey, run him up against the side of the cliff once and twice, and he's going to beat him to death. And then the donkey spoke, hey, I'm just trying to save your life. Not spoken, there's, I love you, my master, and I want to save your life. And then God opened the eyes of Balaam. He saw that angel with the sword. That angel wants to kill you, and I want to save you. I want you to understand that what you're doing is wrong. That what you're teaching is not right because you're going after filthy lucre. Yes, it's not openly expressed in there, but you can read into it. Because we know he was doing wrong. We know what he was doing was wrong. But the donkey had to point it out. Oh, and then we just look at that as a lesson for Balaam. How about us? We can learn that lesson from the donkey. Okay? The donkey that talked. We're not talking about Shrek. We're talking about a real donkey that talked. Okay? And the donkey said, hey, I love you, and I'm trying to teach you that what you're going the wrong direction. We're not going that direction. We're going to take you somewhere else. What does that donkey want to speak to us about? Are we going in the right direction? Have there things been brought into our life that said, no, you can't go that direction. I want you to go this way. And do we listen to them? The Holy Spirit has been given to us to reside within, to testify of the truth of God, to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Are we listening? Do we have our ears opened to what the word, to what the, what God wants to tell us? This morning, God wants to tell us something. Are we listening? The book of Revelations. Brother John, write this to the angel. And a lot of people look at that. Oh, that's a real angel. How do you write a letter, a physical letter to an angel? It's like, come on. The angel means messenger. To the pastor of that church. Write this to that pastor over there, whoever it is. It could be a young man. Forgot his name. Who was the young man? Timothy. It could be a young man named Timothy. You need to write this so that way he can tell the other people. This is what I want you to write. Wish we had those letters. Oh, we do. First couple of chapters, write this. Behold, I come quickly. I'll judge you if you don't repent. Church of Smyrna, you're doing a good job. Hang in there. You're going to suffer persecution for a little bit, but in the end, you'll be victorious. Wow. Are we listening? I bet you there were people when Timothy or whatever preacher got the message, got the letter. Oh, no. This is where we're headed. We're headed to heaven, our candlestick being removed and not considered a church of God? Oh, man. You know, to me, if I got that letter, it would drive me to my knees for a couple of days, fasting and prayer, saying, oh, we got to change. Give me wisdom how I should preach this. I know pastor has brought in, maybe not to you guys, I don't know. He talked to him as much as I do about stuff that we talk about, how he prays about people in his church. Four people in the church. Okay, some of us he prays more for because we need him more. But how he prays. Before we excluded Brother Wright, man, he prayed for years. Is this the right thing? He asked my counsel and a couple other people's counsel, is this the right thing? Because I want to make sure that we're doing it for him. Not for our own stinking pride, but for him. That he may grow. That he may learn. It's like, you know, after a couple of years of hard prayer, had to make a conclusion, a decision. How dare you judge him? You know, he's judged himself by his own works. We shall see who they are. By the own voice that comes out of his mouth, we'll understand where they're coming from. Okay. So Solomon's trying to get that across to us. Not just the people of God in the Old Testament, but the people of God, period. The children of God. And he comes with this. We are in verse 27 of chapter 3. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause if he has done thee no harm. Okay? Things that You know, it sounds like New Testament preaching, doesn't it? Man, if you got it, that's what I thought. I think it's in 1 John or something, one of 1 John's. Where if you see a brother in need and you withhold from him, you're just an ornery old coot. You know, it's like you need to just repent. If you see a brother in Christ that has a need, that has a desire, that's going the wrong way, it's up for you to go to that brother. Here, how can I help? Here's a need. And it's not like, oh, hang on, I'll come back tomorrow and I'll see what I can do. When you know what you have, it's not brought out in here, but there should be a sub thing in here. That we should always be ready to help our brother or a stranger. Remember the story about the neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus, who's my neighbor? This guy that lives next to me? No. The Samaritan who lives in the next county, in the next country. The Spokaneite who, for me, lives in the next state. It's like, wow. That's your neighbor. Remember the story about the Good Samaritan? Okay. So it's one of those things that he's trying to teach us a lesson that we should have something set aside to help people. Not only for our bills, not only for our tithe and our offering, not only for your emergency fund, but a little bit set aside to help. To be a help for a brother or sister in Christ, or to be a help. Man, the brother in Sri Lanka, Brother Ekno. He was one of the first people we met him. He's a nice guy. I mean, just a true brother in Christ. But what does he do? He wants money to help him. Oh, I want to plant a well. I want to plant a garden. I want to give him a home. These people that are ignored, that are despised and rejected of men. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're coming upon the Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, in case you didn't know it. That's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem with all the palm leaves. Anyway, and we're going to be it's going to be on TV, it's going to be everywhere, about, you know, for a lost society, they sure teach a lot about Christ here in the next week. Okay. I lost my train of thought. But Brother Ekno has these things for these people to meet their need, to show them the spirituality of Christianity. And Jesus says that, or Paul says it, sorry, in another place. And that's where I was trying to look up. I thought I knew where the verse was, but apparently I don't. Where if you see your brother needs clothes and you say, oh, be clothed and be filled, you've just sinned against your brother. And to all people, those that are despised and rejected of men, lepers. In that country, everybody despises and rejects them. Here, we don't associate with them either. They have medicines, but you still can't cure that. It's like, wow. The leper colonies of the 1800s. Australia was a leper colony. Oh, they also sent convicts there too, by the way. But these people that Brother Ekno... It still amazes me the pictures he has of them, of him loving them, hugging them, being with them. The love for the people that God has chosen him to go to is shown. And I want to be a help to those that are despised and rejected of men, who said that they are worthless, who said that they are not worth counting into the thing. They fend for yourself. And I'm sure there's people out there say, we don't need to do that. I mean, it's not getting the word of God. Yes, I think it is. He's building a relationship with those people that nobody else could get to them and witness to them about the Word of God. And others who come along who are in a different village, when he comes into that village, oh, we know you. You've been talked about. You're showing the love of Christ to that village, and we have also been partakers of that. Of that grace, the true grace that you have shown that is from God and God alone. To me, that's an amazing thing. Because we don't do it in this country. To even people that are, you know, that can't give us a disease. I mean, we don't do it in this country. How many people balk at the prison ministries? They had their shot. Let them rot in prison. Ooh. Except for the grace of God, that's me. Except for the grace of God that brought me out of things in my life that when I was saved, who said, this is not right, you need to come back to here. Except for preachers and teachers who, when I was first saved, taught me the right path and said, you need to come back to this, the narrow way, and forget all that other stuff. Change your mind, change your thinking, change your thoughts. Wow. That's found in the Old Testament. Show your love by what you do to your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll go the extra mile. At least you can show it to people here in church. I mean, come on. We're all brothers and sisters. How many people here are saved? I think every one of us has said, I'm saved. I believe in God. I believe in the things of God. I believe that the King James Version is the only version for us in the New Testament here. It's the only one. The rest are all just, it's garbage, basically. But hey, this is what I believe and what I stand by. But do you show your love to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you show love, the love of God, toward your sinners? Towards your even very enemies? Jesus said, if you're nice to your enemies, it's like heaping coals on their head. We want to heap the coals. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Yeah, I want to heap the coals. So I'm only being nice, so I'm heaping coals on their head. No, you be nice to them because that's the love of God, who came and died for you who were once lost, who were the lost stray sheep. He came and he found you and he brought you in and he said, I am giving my life for you. This whole week, that's what it's all about. In the Old Testament, we had the scapegoat. Had the innocent lamb slain, the blood was spread on that scapegoat, and he was let go free. You and I, brothers and sisters, are that goat. You and I, brothers and sisters, are looking toward the Lamb of God who gave his life for you and I. That his blood was applied to our soul, and now we are washed. We are clean, and we are freed from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of the devil. Do we really know what that means? Do we really experience that freedom? Or do we go back again to the chains of sin and say, no, I'm just all about myself. It's all about me. It's all about me. Oh, I don't care if my brother or sister has a need. I got stuff too. I got things I got to do. I got to save for a fishing boat. I got to save for a fishing motor. I got to save for this. I got to save for a new hunting outfit. I got to save for a new rifle. Remember I told you I had those speeding tickets last week? It's an embarrassment. But I'm telling you because, hey, sometimes I'm not paying attention. My wife comes up later. I don't know if I said this last week. She says, oh, there goes your gun, honey. What? Oh, yeah, I was going to take that money. What? Why didn't you tell me that beforehand? Well, because it wouldn't have done any good. I was like, oh, come on, babe. That's not fair. yeah. We are so selfish and self-absorbed. And that's what Psalm is trying to teach us. As children of God, we need to no longer be, we should not be self-absorbed. When Jesus came, what was Jesus' life all about? Who was Jesus' life all about? You, the lost human being. The one that was separated from God by sin. The one that was so far from God, you were considered ungodly, unholy. You were considered an antichrist. Oh, I wasn't that bad. Be honest. If you were a sinner, you were that bad. If you were not saved, you were that bad. Honest. And Christ said, I am coming to seek the lost sheep. I am coming to seek and to save that which is lost. I will give my life. Not because the Father required it of him. He volunteered to die for you. Think about that this week. This is called Easter week. Resurrection Sunday is next Sunday. Think about that. We're going to be having our Lord's Supper. There's the third time it's been announced here in public. On Tuesday night, where the people of God come and gather to commemorate this due in remembrance of me. Oh, man. It should be in quotations, by the way, because that's Scripture. The very words of Jesus. Okay, the very words of Jesus. You can argue that. I don't care. The very words of Jesus. When you do it, as often as you do this, as often as you drink the wine and do the bread, you're going to do it in remembrance of me. And what is the remembrance? You love me enough to die for me. You gave your blood. You gave your body to be whipped and chained as the punishment. You gave your blood to be a covering for my sin. That's what Tuesday night is all about, is that remembrance. And it would behoove us as Christians, as children of God, to come and remember it together. To remember it together. Yeah, there's a song, I'm the sinner that God came and died for. Do we have that, the weight of what that means, heavy on our mind? Have we stopped and considered these things? That this is real serious. This is serious stuff. Now remember, next Sunday, when they went to the grave, he wasn't there. Rejoice, the angel said, he is risen, he is not here. He came and proved that everything he said he would do, he had the power to do. That God was behind it and rose him from the dead, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. Wow. Wow. Think about that, please, this week, and let it. I mean, I get goosebumps right now because it's like, man, this is an amazing thing. The very God that created everything we see, that created you, loved you enough to come down off the throne from heaven, to leave his glory, to exchange it for that of a servant, that he may serve you. So get off of your high horse. And remember your brothers and sisters of Christ. Remember the lost people. That when they have a need, help to fit that need, to supply that need. Who knows? Maybe you would be the only self-sacrificing Christian they know. And they'll be saved. Remember Adiram Johnson? Remember him? Where did he go? China. A guy that didn't speak Chinese. A guy who, the minute he landed on shore, was an outcast. Actually, on the dock there, he wasn't an outcast. When he decided to go into the city, he was an outcast. Because he wasn't Chinese. He wasn't one of them. And for years, he didn't see anybody saved. And then finally, one got saved. Praise God. And there are people in underground churches in China who are still being saved. Praise God, thanks to him. We're having our missions conference. And we like the idea that we can give to the missionary, he can witness, and that we have a part in the souls being saved, in the souls being ministered to. I like that about Brother Ekna. We have a part in that ministry to those people whom the world hates and despises. That through God and through Brother Ekna, we can be a minister there. We can be like we're right there. Helping him to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to show the gospel of the sacrifice of Christ. So he says, don't be so self-absorbed that you forget about those people round about you. When they have a need, withhold good from them when it is due at the right time, when it is in thy power, thy hand to do so. When you have the means to do so, don't hold back. Don't hesitate. Man, we hesitate. Yeah, we hesitate. When's our next business meeting? Is it next Sunday night? Okay, Easter Sunday? Okay, so we'll be here for that too. Sunday night, second Sunday of every month. Remember that, unless he makes the announcement and we change it because of something. We're going to decide some things. Some missionaries have come. There's two specific ones I think we have coming up. How we should help them. After reading this, when it's empowered to do it, when you have it by your side, I'm thinking, man, but we told them to wait. We're going to wait and we're going to pray about it and then we're going to give. Or at least I hope we're going to give. And it's like, you know, withhold not good from them when it is due. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when you have it right by you. When you have the ability to meet that need now. Because, hey, if you tell them to go tomorrow, come back tomorrow, I'll give it to you. Maybe they go out and they get in an accident and they die. And then the need that they had it for, that still exists, by the way. It could be for a family member they needed it. It could be for something that they needed to do. That you had opportunity and you missed. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. How many people know your neighbor's name? Some people, yeah. I know pastor's always talking about his neighbor. People he knows. And it's like, you know, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by thee. Your neighbor dwells securely by you. He trusts you to be a protection on that side for him. Okay. I've been in a neighborhood where we were the good neighbor to the guy next to, and on the other side was was not the good neighbor. Okay. He could trust us. And it's like, you know, are we that person? Or do we say, hey, I'm a believer in Christ, we say one thing and do another? I know we all know people at work like that. We've met people in our lives like that. Don't be that person. And we are out of time. I apologize. I meant to get further, but think about these things, please, this week. About the love of God, the self-sacrifice that Christ gave, that God devised for us originally, before we were even created. Think about that. And think about letting God change your life, change your attitude, change your mind. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for our time here together. Father, I pray that you would illuminate your word into our heart and to our mind. Father, I pray, Lord, we would see things as you see them. That we would understand things as you understand them. And that, Father, that we would go forward in our life, Father. Go forward, Lord, knowing that as we share your love to others, that, Father, that you would come and you would have that fellowship with us. Father, we pray, Lord, you'd be with Pastor in the next hour. Give him the strength he needs for his body, the strength he needs for his voice. The mind, Father, to say those things that clearly and distinctly that you've laid upon his heart and upon his mind. Father, I pray you would also give us the ears to hear what the Spirit says to us today. For Christ's name we pray. Amen.